Today we're going to explore how putting our love of others over God opens them up to harm.
Welcome to the Sifted Wheat Podcast with Leslie Lamb, a counselor by profession, a minister of truth, and a lover of people. This is a safe place where she sets a path for others to learn how to move through hard seasons with confidence and grace, encouraging your faith, empowering your choices, and challenging your perceptions through the Word, the wisdom from years of counseling others, and her own experience of being sifted. Here's Leslie.
We have to be so careful in our love for others that we aren't making a way for deception or injury or allowing space for tolerance and manipulation. I remember it wasn't probably about 5 years ago, I was having a conversation with someone and I guess they were outdone with me. I don't know, but they made the comment, "You're going to love people to hell." It shocked me that someone would say, "Well, what do you mean I'm going to love people to hell?" But the more that I have sat with that and the more that I have observed the importance of our order for love, the more I recognize that if we're not loving God first, then that actually does make that statement possible. If I'm putting people over God, that doesn't leave room for me to challenge them or bring correction, but instead it leads to enabling bad behaviors or negative attitudes. And that kind of tolerance can produce a false gospel. When I love people enough to tell them the truth and love them enough to let them choose, then that is more of how God loves us. He always gives us a choice. And I think there's no better example of that than Jesus with the rich young ruler. So in Mark 10, verses 17 through 22, we hear this story, and Jesus is encountered by this rich young ruler. And he says to him, "Tell me how to get to heaven." And Jesus says to him, "You know, well, follow the commandments." And he says, "Well, I've done all of that." And Jesus said, "Well, this thing you must do. You must give away all of your possessions, all of your wealth, all that you have to the poor, and then come and follow me." And it says that the young man left disappointed. And we can look at that and we can think, Jesus, why? I mean, he was coming. He wanted something from you. Why couldn't you just respond in the kind of love that he was seeking? But it's because Jesus recognized the man's heart and he recognized that he didn't love God first. Even though he had said he had kept all the commandments, truly, there was one commandment that he wasn't keeping, and that was that he was not loving the Lord his God first. But one thing that I do like about this is that it doesn't say that Jesus just dismissed him or that Jesus, you know, turned away and said, "That's what's wrong with the world today." He didn't do that. Now, he does make it a teachable lesson with the disciples after the rich young ruler leaves. But in one translation, it says this. It says, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him." That's important to remember. Jesus knew the order. Jesus loved God first, and there was a standard that must be met. And the love for the man first would have resulted in a compromise. Jesus could have said, "You know what? I take that back. As long as you just, you know, you love me, and as long as if there's any opportunity for you to give anything around the people that we're around, or if you just want to invest in the kingdom and buy some food for the disciples from time to time, like, it's cool. Just come on in." No, he didn't make a compromise because he was getting at the young man's heart. And he knew if you don't have this in order, it isn't going to be the answer that you're seeking. And that is a hard lesson to learn. He did not compromise the standard. He stood in the standard, but it says he loved him. He watched him walk away and he loved him because God's love leaves a choice. It's never, "If you don't do this, dot, dot, dot." But here's a choice. You can decide And if you decide not to, I love you, but I release you. The problem with loving people first and not recognizing our love for God, that puts us in a space to allow tolerance or compromise, where we start to align with, well, whatever makes you comfortable, whatever feels good. I don't want to interrupt that because that's important to you. So I want you to be able to keep what's important to you so that you don't feel like I'm being oppressive. But the problem with that is that it's not actually helping the individual in the end. You know, sometimes we hear the adage that the church is a hospital. Well, if I can be honest, the church is looking less and less like a hospital and more like a hospice, because we're not speaking the truth. We're not challenging mindsets or perceptions. We're not allowing pain or discomfort. We're basically saying, I just want to make you comfortable until you die. That is not a life-giving church. And it's no wonder that so many in the church are on life support with a morphine drip. Just make me comfortable until I get to the end. I mean, if that is what being a Christian is for, then why are we here? If I'm just here for an eternal place and I'm not here for the abundance of the everyday, why am I here? Because it's never going to be enough. Because life is always going to push me in a direction that is not going to be comfortable. And my desires are going to want to align with things that are temporary joy or temporary comfort. And I'm not going to have any kind of fortitude to say no to that. Why would I say no to that? If it's just about an eternal place and a future, what profits me in the life that I'm living right now? What profits any of us in the life that we're living right now? If I can just do what I want, there has to be a standard. And we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And I hope that you've been reading that as we've been going through this series, because love is patient and it is kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way, but it does give a choice. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. That is God's love for us. And that is the standard of love for self and others. And when we allow that love for one another to be tainted, when we start to look for more ways to love rather than how to show God's love to others, we've missed the mark. And we're putting one another at risk to be injured, to be hurt. When I love others with the love that God loves me, then I extend grace and mercy. But I also acknowledge truth. And I don't allow that love to be tainted by the world and the messages of compromise and tolerance. If I love God, I love others. And we need to get that right, because some of the language that's coming out of the mouths of so-called Christians is not loving. And 1 John 4, 7 through 8 tells us that if you don't love, then you're not of God. So yes, we have to be loving because that is what represents our Father best, love. We have to love our enemies because that's what represents His love best. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? But love those who hate you, for even God does that. He gives rain and He gives sun to the evil. So Jesus was saying, God doesn't just love the lovely. God doesn't just love the righteous. He loves the unrighteous too and blesses them. So we've got to be so careful that we don't get so caught up in our own story of love that we become judgmental. But we also have to be so careful that we don't become so accustomed to grace that we misuse it. We have to be so careful that we don't allow our tolerance to push people into lifestyles and choices that are not good for them. Do they enjoy it? Probably. Does it make them feel good? Most likely. We don't do things if it doesn't benefit us in some way. But at the end of the day, is it healthy? And I need to be able to love someone enough to say, hey, this isn't healthy. This isn't good. There's a better choice that you can make. And when I do that, when we do that, we are more accurately reflecting the love of God for one another. And in fact, I think that if we did more of that love with limits, love with boundaries, but not judgment and condemnation, I think we might see more people saying, I think I could give that guy Jesus a chance. I think I might could walk in a church if I knew that they saw me through grace and not through judgment. I might could walk in a church if I recognized that they had something that could help me, that could meet me in my needs versus this vice that I'm using that's only temporary and sends me in a cycle of shame. I really believe that if we started loving the way that it's been taught us to love, if we started loving with the order of God first, ourselves and others second, we would see real change in the world around us, and we would see more believers being galvanized in faith rather than walking away from it. I want to encourage you as you're listening to this, do you know, have you sat with God's standard of love? And are you allowing that love to re-inform for you the definition of what love should be? And where are you getting that order wrong? Have you leaned into people-pleasing where you're afraid that if you don't do what people say or if you don't affirm what they want, that they're not going to like you and they're going to reject you and they're going to abandon you? Because that's being in bondage to their will over the will of God, which is pleasing and perfect and good. Are you starting to see God as cruel and angry and unkind, mostly because the way that people have presented him to you? Then I want to sit with you and I want to remind you that they aren't doing a good job of reflecting the love of God. Or are people loving you to the point that they have never questioned what you're doing? Are people loving you to the point that they've just become tolerant of things that you know are not good for you? Are you loving people to the point that you aren't speaking up, even though it is crushing you to see them make choices that are spiraling them into depression and anger and dissatisfaction? Or is your love self-centered? Are you more accustomed to a feeling that if I want it, then it's okay and I don't care what anybody says? Or are you the kind of person that's like, I'm right and they're wrong and I'm going to stand on this pedestal and condemn them? Because both of those things are self-centered love, and neither of those things have space in the kingdom of love. So what can you do today? What can you do this week to redeem that order? Do you need to resist some of those things that you feel drawn to that are temporary fulfillments? Do you need to resist people who are pulling you into things that are not healthy for you? Do you need to forgive people for not showing up in ways that they needed to, or for oppressing you by making you believe that what they had to offer you would fulfill you? Do you need to humble yourself? Do you need to recognize that, you know, I don't have all of the answers and I am not perfect in and of myself and I can't do everything and meet every need? Do you need to humble yourself? I never want this podcast to just be informative. I always want it to be conversational. I always want you to leave this space and ask yourself some questions and gain some understanding and some insight and hopefully some revelation for how God loves you and how you're called to love those around you, including yourself. I know that God's love is pure because I've experienced the purity of his love. And I know that there is a counter to that love that has made it oppressive. But I want to encourage us to get back on track, to resist whatever information we've received in the past that has enforced a belief that has moved us away from the love of God and made that dangerous to us or made that threatening to us. And I want to encourage us to lean back in, to do a word search, like I had talked about in the last episode when I talked about secure attachment. Where does God say that he is safe? Where does God say that his security is in him? Where does God say that he sees us? Where does God say that he comforts us? Because when we can start to trust that his love for us is secure and our attachment to him is secure, regardless of what choices that we make, if we just turn back to him, everything can be reconciled. Then like 1 John 4:18 says, I don't have to be afraid because perfect love casts out fear. And I know that I'm loved by God. Therefore, I'm not afraid that I'm not loved by others. I'm not afraid that others will hurt me or that others will misuse me because I've got that order right, which means I recognize value. And so I encourage you, hold on to that and make that more than just an episode on a podcast. Let's make that our lives and let's love the world well and let's love the world safely and let's love one another in the same way.